I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Brian.
And I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. This is episode 222, our last episode for 2022, so it's an apt number. And it's our annual best of edition. And this week, as you heard, all three of us are here in the studio. Yay!
Yay!
This is so exciting to be all together.
I don't think we've done this.
I can't think of when we have.
Very early on, I think we did.
Okay.
Maybe two plus years ago.
Wow. Well, here we are, and happy holidays to you guys.
And you too.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you. How are things going in the run-up to the holiday season for you, Griff?
They're pretty busy because there's a lot to get ready for 2023, including the recording of our library of ESAs, eBay Service Ads. Did you guys have a chance to hear last week's?
I did. It was hilarious.
I'm waiting for the feedback.
I haven't had any feedback. I'm really depressed.
Everyone's out busy shopping.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'll keep telling myself throughout the year.
Well, listeners, if you heard this interstitial, the eBay service announcement, let us know. It's Griff and Brian talking all about how to search the help pages.
That's
right?
The first one, yeah.
Yeah. And it's hilarious and charming and has fun music in the background.
It does have good music.
Thanks. It was my choice. Hey, you're not getting off lightly on this one, Rebecca, because we'll be doing ads with you too.
Ooh, I get a turn. I'm here for that. Yay.
Yay. Okay.
Bring it on.
It's a deal. We put the news and the You Got Questions segments on special holiday hiatus for this week.
We've been light on news anyway the last few weeks.
You know, it's amazing. We really haven't had anything new to report.
Just wait till 2023, everyone.
Yes. So I guess you could say we hit time away on the news.
Yeah. Yes.
And we extended it by more than 30 days. Well, anyway, each of us selected our favorite segments from the past year, 2022, to feature.
Now, this was not easy. There was so much great content, so many amazing sellers that we talked to this year. It was hard to choose our favorites.
A lot of really good guests, and we had guests in person this year again.
We had a lot of guests in person post-COVID. Well, I don't know if that's safe to say, but post-eBay COVID, we can now bring people into the campus. I actually had guesses about what both of you would select.
Oh, did you?
I wasn't too far off.
I have to admit that some of my favorites, you know, listeners who've been listening this year know that we were in Las Vegas at an event, and we did a bunch of rapid-fire recordings with sellers, and those really stood out for me. So, spoiler alert, my choice was one of those sellers that we talked to in Vegas.
It was hard to select. I mean, there were so many good guests. And for us in person, we had multiple really good guests here in the studio. So, it was a challenge.
Anyway, let's get started.
Great. Can I go first?
Absolutely.
Of course you can.
Yay. All right. My choice for Best Of is an interview we did at the Reseller Remix in Las Vegas, and that was this past October. I went with our interview with Jesse and Austin Smith of Yesterday's Fit.
Jesse and Austin Smith, welcome to the podcast.
Howdy. Thank you.
And what's your user ID?
Yesterday's_fits, which is the same as our Instagram. And our store name, we have a brick and mortar store, Yesterday's Fits. And we're about 5 minutes off the Las Vegas Strip.
And is the store open right now?
Yes.
Well, who's manning it?
Our manager.
Oh, there you go.
The guy we pay the big bucks, right? Yeah, so he's there right now.
How long have you been selling? When did you start your business?
Well, the store opened up 5 years ago. We've been selling on eBay, though, for, I think our account opened up in 2014.
Okay.
But we sold for our parents before that on their account.
Well, ourselves and our parents. But
helping list, and that was probably 2009, 2010.
I think earlier than that, because I started taking photos for my mom as kind of chores. Instead of helping clean the house and stuff like that, we would do that.
We still had to clean the house.
But, you know.
But we didn't get chore money or anything like that. If we wanted money, we would list on eBay for them so that they could get money out of it and we could.
Yeah.
Oh, profit sharing.
Yeah, exactly. But I was like 5 when I was doing that.
Excuse me?
With a little point and shoot camera. When we moved out to Vegas, my dad was promised a job. We moved from Illinois. We've been kind of bouncing between different places, but we get here and it got pushed back like 6 months. And so we end up moving in with my cousins, but my mom grew up in this like little college town, was making a ton of money working at bars. And she would go out and buy all these brand new clothes every single night when she would go to work. So when she moved out here, it's 120 degrees out here. She doesn't need all these sweaters and jackets and everything. So we started selling everything on eBay. I was born in 96 and I think this was in 2002, 2001. I was literally 5 or 6 years old,
yeah,
helping my mom take photos. And then Austin was 6 or 7 and he started taking photos, and I was working on, you know, learning how to do titles and drafting all the rest of it up the way.
So you've really kind of grown up with eBay,
yeah,
in some ways.
Yeah.
I've never heard a story like that before. And I actually really love the origin story here of like helping your family like get by. And I mean, she essentially made it a hobby for you guys.
Well, and that's what it really, it did turn into that. Like we, you know,
after school, we'd go and thrift and
yard sales
every weekend. And every moment we could, we were trying to find our own pieces so we could list them and try to make a little extra money. And
so when did that branching off start from when you were doing this for your mom and now you're doing it for yourself?
We took a little bit of like a break. We went to really, really hard high school out here, and it was a magnet program that was super, super like pushing. So we took a break, and I was focused on that a lot. And, you know, we had big dreams of doing stuff in sports marketing and management and all this stuff. But my junior year of high school, I found this Pistol Pete jersey at the thrift store, and I bought it for myself. It was $7.99. Just was curious because it was this bright green jersey. I was like, I'm really not going to wear this to school. So I was like, let me see how much this sells for on eBay. Because I was still dabbling in eBay a little bit with like sports cards and stuff like that. Nothing serious, but just to kind of clean out. And I threw it up on eBay for $60 and it sold overnight. That was kind of like the spark in me again. I was either 16 or 17. And that's when it really like picked up like crazy for me. And I ended up going really, really heavy into it for 3 years, like my junior, senior, and then my freshman year of college. And it was to the point where like all my friends thought I was selling drugs. And I was like, no, like I'm just making good money selling on eBay.
I mean, you can get addicted to selling on
right,
eBay.
Exactly. Right, exactly. And I was, which we still are. It was, you know.
I was a kid bringing 2 or 3 extra shirts in my backpack. I knew kids would want them, or extra pair of shoes. Or
yeah.
It got to that point where kids at school wanted to sell some stuff, and I was like, oh, I know I can get money for that. Cool, I'll give you $20 for your shoes that you don't want. Oops, my bad.
But yeah, we were selling at school. We were selling on eBay. We were doing all that. And then I think like the pivotal moment was I moved to Reno for a year to go to school up there. And I got a job working at Savers so I could use my 50% off discount to buy things to sell on eBay. And then my other job, I was working part-time at a sports card shop. And I said, don't pay me in cash, pay me in store credit. And he ended up doubling what he was paying me. And then I would just sell everything on eBay. And so I ended up making, you know, 4 to 5 times the amount that I normally would on a weekly basis just because I was selling it all on eBay instead.
So this is while you're in Reno.
Correct.
And then when you leave Reno, you come back to Las Vegas.
I come back to Vegas and I'm here for maybe 2 months. And this is Austin's senior year of high school. And I see that he's like really, really picked up on shoes.
Yeah, I started a degenerate sneaker collection.
Right. Degenerate
sneaker? Yeah.
No, explain, please.
It got to the point because I was, anytime I could get a cheap pair of shoes in my size, I'd grab it.
Not even just his size. He's lying to you about that. Well, it was every size possible.
I keep it for myself. I intend it for myself, though.
You're going to grow into them.
Yeah.
Right. And Mind you, he's a senior in high school, so not a ton of growing left going on. But like,
well, I do hear that your feet continue to grow as you get older. I can testify that.
All right. There you go. Maybe I'm the liar then.
Yeah. I'm a size 9.5, 10, buying 11, 12s.
Oh, there'll be a day.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It got to the point where my collection started getting up way too much.
It was taking over my old room at the house. And
yeah,
when
so I had my room and then started filling up his room. And then he came back and we were just like, okay, we got to do something with this. I was still selling on eBay here and there. Throughout high school, we had some pretty good flips. I actually found a pair of shoes at a flea market for $40 and sold them for $2,400 in less than a week on eBay.
Okay, holy that's smokes. It. I quit.
And it was funny because we're sitting there at the flea market and I look at these shoes and I'm like, I don't know anything about shoes at this time, right? And I'm like, Austin, aren't these like really cool shoes? No, and they were priced at $60. And he goes, dude, those are crazy. Like, we have to get those.
But it was one of those, like, I don't know if they're real. I don't know if they're fake because I don't know enough about them, but I know what the shoe is.
Yeah, so I looked at the guy and I said, will you take $40 for them? And he goes, yeah, sure. And I like paid him and handed them to him. I was like, here you go. I don't know anything about these.
What were they?
Yeezy Platinum 2s. But we had spent $40 on them and I'd sold them for $2,400 on eBay within less than a week.
Do you still sell sneakers? Is that one of the categories you sell in?
Yeah.
You must use the authentication program. I mean,
yes.
How's that experience been?
Great. I think we've had one kickback the whole time.
And why? Why was the kickback?
The shoes were real.
He listed them.
I listed them as brand new. And They were brand new when we bought them, but because we have a brick and mortar store, I'm assuming someone tried them on in our store. And so when they got to eBay, I didn't check it. They weren't new anymore. So they got kicked back. But I like that though. You know what I'm saying? Because as a buyer, if I got that shoe, I probably would have been upset. It's been good though. It makes it a lot easier for us because we do buy on eBay also all the time. And so it is.
So if you know your markets, you can buy shoes on eBay pretty easily because you know you're buying authentic shoes. And if you know, if you purchase it and they come out to be unauthentic, you get your money back.
So, has that happened to you, by the way?
I mean, we've bought a few things that have turned out to be unauthentic and then no issue. We get our money back and we go on to the next purchase.
It sounds like you have a lot going on. You've got your store on eBay, you've got your brick and mortar store, and you have social media as well?
Correct.
Okay, so Instagram, so
mainly
YouTube.
Instagram, yeah. We have YouTube. We're not very active on it at this moment.
Working on it.
Working on it, yeah. But Instagram's our number one.
How do you balance all of those priorities?
We started realizing that we can't do it all by ourselves. It's more based off a team. So we had, like, we hired a content creator for us and a videographer, which is actually the dude who's doing the videography for this event right now.
So that leaves you focusing on sourcing and business strategy?
We kind of have it broken down between about five of us. Austin and I do a lot of the content production, I like to say, where it's like, hey, this is what needs to happen on our Instagram. This is what needs to happen on our YouTube or whatever. And I mainly do like a lot of the back end work with, you know, with eBay, making sure the website is taken care of because we have a website with over 2,500 items also.
What's that URL?
Yesterdaysfits.com. Yeah. Pretty easy to remember. But, you know, Austin does a great job at making sure that the shop is running and promoted very well. Because we do have a store where we do buy, sell, trade, people are bringing us stuff all day, every day. The sourcing aspect of it, which I would say 99% of the people behind us have an issue with when it comes to sourcing. A lot of people on, you know, full-time resellers probably do. Luckily, we don't have that issue.
I mean, yeah, we will never have a problem trying to find something to put on eBay.
Is it because it comes to you or is Vegas particularly good?
Because we're such a transient city. Mm-hmm. So much comes in, so much goes out that you're always able to find new things. But it is getting a lot more crammed here now. It is getting a little harder to find stuff, which is where our brick and mortar comes in handy because a lot of other resellers out here don't have a place to go sell their stuff.
Right.
And so a lot of these people who are thrifting things now can bring it to us instead of having to try to go around and do their own thing.
And it makes more sense for us instead of me driving around all day trying to find stuff at the thrift stores and paying, you know, $2 to $10 a piece for these items. I would rather us pay $5 to $20 an item and have it all brought to us.
Right, your inventory just walks in the door.
Exactly. And then I do a lot of resourcing on eBay through Whatnot and through just, like, we go out to the Rose Bowl Flea Market at least every other month in Pasadena.
And, I love that place.
I love it. I literally, like, imagine that's what heaven's like for me. You know what I'm saying? like the smell of it in
like
the morning.
You crave just the feeling of being there.
When I lived in Reno, there was one tiny flea market that was at this drive-in movie theater every single Sunday. Mind you, this was 7 years ago, 6 years ago, before everybody was a reseller at one point. But every time I went, my car was full leaving. And it wasn't just fashion stuff. It wasn't just clothing. Like, I remember this one time I walked out with these original Muhammad Ali fight posters. 1970s original fight posters.
Wow.
I paid $25 a piece for them. And I ended up selling them for almost $2,000 each.
Yikes. But Thank you, Reno.
Right, exactly. But, and then it's just like, how did that end up there? Like, that's
a good question.
That's always the thing for me with these flea markets is you have all this abundance of stuff. It's like there has to be one thing that someone's going to make a million on.
Flea markets are the place to be. If you have an hour or two, you can find something. Something will pop out.
It does sound like, I mean, you have to be willing to take a risk.
Oh, for sure.
Not necessarily know exactly what you're buying or exactly what it's going to sell for, but just to have that eye.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank both of you for stopping by. We
appreciate you guys. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I can see why you went with the Smith brothers. They were really, really good.
Really inspiring story. I love the idea of these young brothers being so motivated and learning so much together and how far they've come.
Yep. And I'm so glad that, like, their parents allowed them to use their account pre-18.
Exactly.
We don't discourage that. If you're using an over 18-year-old family account, you know, muzzle tough.
Right.
Yeah,
please.
Okay. Absolutely. Kids can work with their parents to sell on eBay for sure. And, you know, some of our favorite sellers and the ones that we see really achieve a lot, they start super young with their parents' help.
Yeah. The family that sells together excels together.
Oh, Griff, I love it. Genius.
On eBay. You have to always add that tagline. Hey, can I go next?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to hear what you chose.
So this was difficult for me, too, because I do a lot of these interviews. But my favorite segment from 2022, and I gave it a lot of thought, was one that it was quite surprising because it was clearly a most unusual topic.
German Packaging Act, Griff.
No. I refuse.
No, I don't want to go back there. Not that episode, though I thought it was a good one. Anyway, my selection for this year as best interview was Steve Young, the industrial musical collector.
Our guest this week is a former writer for Late Show with David Letterman. Steve Young's passion for the industrial musical is the focus of a book co-authored with colleague Sport Murphy, and it's titled Everything's Coming Up Profits, The Golden Age of Industrial Musicals. Steve is also the focus of a Netflix documentary titled Bathtubs Over Broadway, which follows him as he searches for recordings and artifacts, many of which he has found on eBay. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, Griff. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, Steve, normally we start off on the podcast asking our guests how they get started on eBay, but I have to start with another question. What is an industrial musical?
Industrial musicals are Broadway-type musical shows, often extremely elaborate, full casts, orchestra, props, costumes, a story, but they were created for company conventions and sales meetings. There might be a marquee at Radio City Music Hall that's a little bit cryptic. It just says, "Welcome Ford Tractor Dealers." And if you went up to the ticket office and said, "Oh, what can I see this?" No, if you're not a Ford tractor dealer, you can't go in. But inside, there are thousands of Ford tractor personnel, and they sit down, and there is a mind-bendingly slick and professional and tuneful musical about the triumphs and tragedies of being a Ford tractor dealer. And just maybe, if things went really well, the company would be excited enough to press a souvenir record album, private pressing, never in stores, just given out within the company. And so if you multiply this by thousands of companies over several decades, you have a enormous yet almost completely off the grid, hidden, secret form of show business, which I discovered quite accidentally.
What do you mean accidentally?
I spent many years as a writer on the Letterman show. And early on in my tenure there, the head writer said, "Well, we do a bit called Dave's Record Collection. It's Dave Letterman holding up real, but really strange and unintentionally funny record albums. And we hear a sample, and then Dave's got a funny remark, and then we do 8 or 10 of them. And it's a desk piece. It's a comedy bit, but it's real."
Yeah.
And maybe you can be the guy who will go out and find the records, because we need somebody to go find records. So I started looking through used record stores in New York City, thrift shops, finding whatever we could get. It early on had been a lot of the celebrities who should not have been singing, who were singing, like William Shatner. That was a good one. Leonard Nimoy. For some reason, the Star Trek guys thought they were going to be singers. So we ran through this bad celebrity singers, and then it was a lot of teach your parakeet to talk and learn to touch type and take dictation. But I started finding the first few outlier examples of something that I had no idea of what I was finding, and I'll show you a couple here.
Diesel Dazzle.
Yes, an entire musical about selling and servicing diesel engines, put on by the Detroit Diesel Engine Division of General Motors in 1966.
Can you hold that up again?
You don't need to ask me twice. Yeah, Diesel Dazzle. It's on the face of it, obviously, it's off the charts absurd. Like for a comedy writer looking for grist for the comedy mill, oh my God, we're 3/4 of the way there before you even put the needle on the record. Just because conceptually, a musical about selling and servicing diesel engines. Oh, my God, this is a gift from the comedy gods. This is American Standard commissioned a musical called The Bathrooms Are Coming.
Oh, geez.
About the new line of plumbing fixtures. 1969, two shows, Vegas and Atlanta, for plumbing fixture distributors. Again, not the public. You could not go see The Bathrooms Are Coming unless you were high up in the plumbing industry. So this is just melting my head. I kept finding them, though. My Insurance Man, Continental Insurance, a musical about how to be a better insurance salesman. I thought, oh, my God, this is fantastic. But what blew my mind was not all of them were great, But like those three that I just held up, I could not get the songs out of my head.
Oh, dear.
We'd make a joke on the show, and it'd be weeks later, and I'm still, why am I singing that diesel engine song? Why am I excited about insurance sales? There's some magnetic quality to this. I thought, there is some genius at work here. Who were these people who made this stuff that seems way better than it should have been? How can I find more, first of all? And that's where eBay started to come in.
Of course.
But also, who were the people who wrote these things and performed in them? And that's kind of the arc of Bathtubs Over Broadway, the documentary.
Some of these shows were written by people who would go on to actually become famous as Broadway writers.
That is absolutely true. It was a terrific training ground for people who were on their way up in the musical theater world. You could wait tables, you could drive a cab, according to Hal Linden, or if you hit the jackpot, you might do the new Buick show or the Kodak show or whatever, and you made big money and were treated very well, first-class accommodations at whatever resort they flew you to, and it was hard work. You had to learn this stuff, and you had to learn it fast and get it right and pivot if they changed the specifications of the two-door to the different V8 at the last minute. You had to be ready to go with the punches, but it could be a terrific world. People made more money doing industrials than they did at a mid-range actual Broadway position. And I grew up knowing really nothing about Broadway. So when I started finding these records, and some of them had credits on the back, and I just didn't know what I was looking at. It turned out John Kander and Fred Ebb, they did a General Electric show. It only came to my attention much later that they had written Cabaret and Chicago. I had a Ford Tractor record. Sheldon Harnick and Jerry Bock did not ring any bells for me. And a friend of mine went, oh, my God, do you know who those guys are? No, they wrote Fiddler on the Roof. So this was a huge training ground for people, not all of whom vaulted to the A-list, but many of whom did, and performers also. In the movie, I interviewed Cheetah Rivera, Martin Short, people who came out of their early, like, all right, I'm in college and I'm graduating and I want to go into being a musical theater performer or a dancer or a singer or whatever. If you're smart, you could get in the side door with industrials, and you networked and you proved that you had the stuff and you sharpened your craft. And you were ready to go when the big leagues called.
So you started looking for these records when you discover them. Where are we talking, in the 80s?
No, mid-90s, I think, is when it dawned on me after I had like a half a dozen of them. Gee, how many of these are there? Could there be 10? Could there be, what if there were 12? And then there started to be record shows and record fairs. I thought, okay, well, I'm still kind of doing this for the Letterman show, but now it had tipped over more like, I don't care if the fluorescent light fixture musical doesn't get on the Letterman show. I want it for myself.
Exactly.
Now. But it was right about at that time when I was starting to take it a little more seriously that I started hearing about this new thing called eBay. I first joined eBay in late 97. So it had been around
two years.
I heard about this thing and I started looking at it, and I'm sure it had taken enormous leaps already by late 97. Of course, it's laughable now to think how crude and undifferentiated so much of it was. So I'm looking for an unbelievably arcane kind of record that was pressed in minuscule quantities, never for sale in stores. Most people have never heard of any of the titles or the genre. So it is the ultimate needle in a haystack to go on eBay in 1997. I don't know if there were searching by keywords yet, even. I just remember scrolling through thousands of records just listed, and it was like the electronic version of being in a thrift shop and you're at a bin and you're just trying to get through stuff.
And hours and hours and hours.
Yes, but it paid off even early on. I have some of the first ones that I ever found. 1966 Coca-Cola Route Salesman's Convention. I thought, this is perfect. This is exactly what I'm looking for. And I think I had to stay up till 3 a.m. to watch the end of the auction. And I don't know how many people were bidding on it. I may have paid over $100 for it, but I was very excited.
Thanks again, Steve.
My pleasure. And thank you so much for allowing me to tell my twisted yet beautiful collecting story that eBay is such a central part of.
So that was such an interesting interview, Griff.
Yeah. And I wonder if anyone who listened to that interview has found any of these and they're thrifting
or estate sales.
I know I'm going to look for them the next time I'm out there.
And it's so interesting, like some of the musicians who participated in those.
Yeah. Famous composers.
Yeah. Yes. And then you think about it and it's like, yeah, they have to make money before they're famous.
Exactly. Like us.
Yes.
They want to be as famous as us, Brian.
Brian, you're next. You've got the last spot.
I'm always last, Greg. Just kidding.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I put you last because I have a sneaking suspicion who you chose. And it was such a great interview. Did you choose who I think you chose?
I selected a longtime seller, meetup organizer, who was in California with her husband, Diane Lasson. And she stopped by the city studio and we had a great interview.
And joining us for a little conversation about her experience on eBay and how much the community means to her is eBay seller Diane Lasson. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Tell everyone your username.
My username is Shop Creations Unlimited.
And you are based in?
Boston, Massachusetts.
And so, Diane, what brings you to California?
Well, we came here for a wedding in L.A., and so we decided to make it a coast trip. We went up the Pacific Coast Highway, and we're here now, and then we're going to end in San Francisco.
A lot of us are going to end in San Francisco. Who's running the business while you're gone?
Right now, I have it on vacation.
Time away.
Time away, which I like that new setting. I think that's really convenient because you're handling time changes as the days get less. I like that.
Are you making sales?
Not as many, I have to say. Probably not as many as, and I know myself, I've done the same thing. I've looked, and if a seller's away, I might need it sooner than that time when they're going to ship. But I'm still getting sales. So I have over 4,000 items in my store. We list every day.
Are they all one of a kind?
Pretty much, yes.
How did you get them all listed? I'm trying to keep over 100.
Well, that's funny that you say that because when I was first building this up, because I had a brick and mortar store and then I came back to doing eBay, I was on one of the groups and someone had 750 feedback. And I was like, how did they do that? And then someone else had 900 items or something in whatever group I was in. And I thought, I have to message them to see how they did that. And the person just said, one listing at a time. And that's really all it is. If you're not listing it, it's not there to sell.
It sits in a death pile.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have that too, a pile. I think everyone has a pile. And sometimes I think you need to go through that and say, well, I'm never going to do this. And just give it away or give it to another seller. My thing is always to try to get my items for free.
How do you find stuff for free?
Oh, very easy. So there's garage sale apps that you can pinpoint from your zip code and it tells you where all the yard sales are. Well, all of those people spent like 2 weeks getting their stuff ready to get rid of it. They want it gone. So you go on the last day and you say to them, I will get this gone for you. And they can sometimes say, oh, well, how much? And I say, oh, no, I was just going to like get rid of it for you. And then they'll either say yes, or how about $50 or whatever.
Some low price.
Right. Yeah. Or then you can renegotiate. Like you can have all that for free, but I want to sell this. Okay. But when you come back to pick it up, they may have said, oh, I don't really, just take it. And that's the just take it is the more often than not. And then the other thing that you do, if you're afraid to talk to them.
I don't think you are, though.
I'm not. But I know people don't want to go up and say they're a reseller. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure why. I think that's the first thing you should do because I ran an estate business. And I would have loved it if you said, I will take all your clothes at the end of this. I will take all your hard goods at the end of this. So if you make these arrangements with people, you can get tons of stuff for free. And then that's why I say, if you're in your death pile or your money pile or your profit pile or whatever you call it, you can choose then. I got it free. I know Brian sells sports blankets or whatever, sporting goods or...
Do you?
I don't know.
Nancy would more than me. She's the Golden State Warriors fan.
Yeah. So I would just say, hey, you want this bag of stuff and pass on the wealth. So if you're sitting at home right now with profit piles, that you are never going to sell, join one of the Facebook groups and see if other people want it. Maybe you could trade inventory. And then again, you're not paying for it.
Before we started the recorder earlier on, we were talking about community and you had some thoughts. And I thought it'd be good to share them, specifically about how, Diane, in the last 2 years, a lot of people who relied on meeting with other sellers face-to-face haven't been able to do that.
Right. I'm immune compromised, and I was not able to go out at all during the pandemic. I think you get institutionalized by staying in your house that long. Going out is daunting. My daughter and I team up, and we meet every week to go over, you know, the things that we accomplished every week. We do it on Friday. And this one week, she's like, Mom, we got to pick a word for the year. And I'm like, okay. What does that mean? She goes, you just think about something that you want to, like if it's smile more, like so smile or happy or one of those things could be your words. And so I thought about it and I said, I think it's fearless. And so that was my word. And I didn't mean I was going to skydive and jump out of a plane or any of that kind
of bungee cord.
Yeah, no, not that kind, but fearless. All of us, we used to go to our meetup and it was wonderful and we'd have dinner and we'd have Brian come and speak and it was great. And now we're back in our basement again and not going out and fearing still to go out. And I think there's a lot of people that are like that. All the meetup groups, not all, but most have not had meetings yet. So I think there's a couple that have. But it's all about rebuilding. And how do you face that fear of getting out of your home and to go and meet other people again? And I think we really need to do that because the most successful people are the people who meet with each other and talk about what they did or what changes were made or how they understood something or how they didn't understand it. And then they get to feel better.
Is your group going to start meeting again, do you think?
Well, I hope so. I think all the groups need to rebuild now, and this is the time when we all have to trust that we can go out and see each other.
Diane, is there anything else you want to add? Maybe something that you feel our sellers need to hear from you?
Just do it.
Well, I think it's trademarked, but it's good advice.
It is, right? But it's trademarked for a reason, right? Because if you don't list your item, it's not going to sell. If you don't have an item to list, it's not going to sell.
No, brother, is that true?
People wait to be perfect. Why? You don't need to be perfect. Just be fun and real and do stuff and go live your life and be happy, you know?
And you'll never know what you discover in those death piles. There's things in there you forgot.
Exactly.
You'll be pleasantly surprised in a lot of them. Some of them you'll be pleasantly disgusted, but...
Or get an employee to go through that death pile for you, and you'd be really happy.
Right, do the research. Well, as Diane said, just do it.
Just do it.
Fearlessly.
Right.
I am just so delighted that you and Rick chose to stop by. You're here in California, and there's lots to see, and I'm really glad that you decided to spend a little bit of time here.
Of all the things she could have done, she decided to waste 2 hours here with the likes of us.
Well, and I have to tell you, people that know me don't think this, but I don't like to speak in public either. I'm not the person who's going to get up on stage by myself. But yet I started a meetup, right?
There you go. You were fearless.
I can do this with you when we're at the restaurant. So I think you find, even though this is not my top 10 thing that I like to do, when you come out of your comfort zone a little bit, you grow. And you keep growing and keep blooming, and then you become a much better person. And that's all we really need. eBay gives you the opportunity to have a platform where you can sell anywhere in the world. All you need to do is do it. Don't be perfect. Just go do it.
I couldn't have put it better myself, even though I often try. Diane, I want to thank you for stopping by, and we hope to see you again. I know Brian will be making trips out to Massachusetts.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope
so, too.
Yeah,
as soon as we're allowed to travel, which seems like is starting to open up for us.
That would be a pleasure.
What I really appreciated was her Massachusetts sense of humor.
So true.
Definitely. Yeah. It comes out all the time.
And, you know, she has done a great job of retaining that sense of humor in spite of everything that she has going on in her life right now.
Yeah.
And she's got a great support system back in Massachusetts as well. And I'm glad that she was able to come out. And I think she might have been our first seller back in person since COVID.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
Which was great to have. And hopefully we'll have many more in 2023.
Yes, yes. Well, we would love to hear what your favorite podcast moment was from 2022. Send us your selection to podcast@ebay.com and we'll read it out on our next episode, probably include links in the show notes as well. Oh, actually, I just said next episode. It's almost the end of the year. We're doing this best of. Griff, when is the next episode?
We're off next week for the holidays, so there'll be no episode that week between Christmas and New Year's. But we'll be back the first Tuesday in January with our first episode of 2023, which will be aptly named Episode 223.
I love it. Very cool.
We're going to feature a conversation with eBay seller Jessica Ullman of Storage Warriors, and I think she's got a great story. You know, she's part of eBay Open, and she was actually at Seller Remix. She gave the opening speech, which we could hear all the cheering and applause.
We could. That's
right. We couldn't hear the speech because we were recording.
Well, I can't wait to listen to episode 223.
Not only will we have an interview, but certain aspects of the podcast will come back from holiday hiatus.
Yes. So we'll answer your emailed and called in questions. So send them in.
And what is that email address and phone number again? I can't possibly remember it.
Let me see. I had to write it down. It's somewhere over here. Let me see. It's podcast@ebay.com and the phone number is 888-723-4630. You can email us. You can call us. And if you send your question and we use it in an episode, we'll send you an eBay for Business podcast mug.
Or something new in 2023.
Ooh, you're going to give it away.
Are we going to surprise our friends out there, or are we going to tell them what the new gift is?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well,
I think we could tease it, because then that will inspire people to call in over the next couple of weeks.
But have we made the final decision?
Oh, yeah. There's too many choices in the catalog. So, yeah, I told Sheila, go ahead.
This week.
Pull the trigger. Anyway, the hint will be, now you can drink your coffee and listen to the podcast at the same time.
What could it be?
Or you could have a cold beverage in it, too.
You could have a cold beverage.
I guess you could have had a cold beverage in a mug.
Yeah, so anyway, you'll find out. We'll talk about it when we're back next year.
That's it, everyone.
Wow.
That's a wrap for 2022.
Another year in the can, so to speak.
And by can, you mean digital archives.
Yeah, of course. Hey, before we sign off for 2022, do either of you have any parting thoughts for our dear listeners, say Brian?
I'd just like to really say thank you to all our loyal listeners this year. I really enjoy the comments and questions you send in. And I also hope all of you have an enjoyable holiday season with family and friends. And of course, a happy new year.
And Rebecca?
You know, I, like you, Brian, echo, I want to say thank you to all of our listeners who've spent the year with us or maybe just discovered us. I hope that the podcast is informative, maybe even sometimes fun. But we appreciate every question, every comment that we get in. So please keep them coming in 2023. And with that, I'm hoping that everyone has a warm and wonderful holiday season.
Well, I echo both of your sentiments. And I want to thank you all for tuning in, downloading. We're always heartened every week when we see those download numbers increase. It means that what we're doing means something. And I have to tell you, without listeners, we could be having all the fun we want and giving all the information we could here, but we just wouldn't be a podcast. No one would listen. We'd have to end it, lock the doors, turn the lights out on the studio, sell the equipment, and walk away. But we're on the up and the up and to the right every week, and I want to thank you for being loyal listeners. And so for the last time, but not the last time forever, just the last time for 2022, the eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everyone.